to Interactive Distractions, episode 141. My name is Christopher Riccio, and I am here with Mr. Travis Baum.
The energy you started up the show just now was fantastic, I just gotta say.
Hey, I'm in a good mood. And Mr. Jeff Jordy.
Too. Yeah, seriously, the energy is through it there. It was awesome. It was
really good. I'm glad I'm making up for you two dull-ass motherfuckers over there.
What up?
Today we are talking about our gaming industry pet peeves, and you know, I think we've probably talked about this before, but we're going to talk about it again anyway, so tough shit. Before that, we're going to talk about some distractions, and maybe we'll hit up some news, and then after that we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. But first, what's up, Travis?
Hey, what's up, dude?
Tell me all about Madden Gras, brother.
Oh, dude, okay, it was amazing. It was, I jotted down some notes, like the key things I wanted to talk about, and the first thing that comes
How about you tell people
was,
what it is first? That'd be awesome.
Well, okay, well, I mean, come on, we talked about it for 2 weeks straight.
Yeah, that's true.
But, of course, Madden released, and since the Saints won the Super Bowl, and Drew Brees being on the cover and all,
Truth.
They decided to have the release party. But we're not like IGN or GameSpot or anything. We don't have the luxury to just be able to.
No,
be
we're
automatically,
bigger, bitches. We're bigger.
We're not allowed to be like just welcomed. There, being the small guy, we have to force our way there. We had to force our way. So I mean, I had to pretty much
force fellatio. Awesome.
Oh, this show's off to a great start.
Fantastic start. Jeff's already talking about dicks. He loves them. Loves them.
Penis.
All right. Anyway. So I had to bug the PR guy for a long time to get there. So finally, everything worked out. The PR ended up just being fantastic to us. And one of the, I mean, so we're there, and a couple of buddies of mine, which I'll thank later, bring us up there, and we're having a good time. We got our passes. And it comes time to interview celebrities, and oh my God, that has got to be the most nerve wrenching thing I've ever had to do in my entire life.
Who did you interview? Drew Brees. No.
No, unfortunately he wasn't there. A lot of Saints players.
Cool, that's cool. All right.
Isn't Brees on the cover?
Yeah but he had cover. To like meet the president or something that morning. Then there was some sort of like
whatever.
veterans hospital visiting wounded soldiers.
Doesn't he know that the release of a video game is more important than that bullshit?
Seriously?
Come on.
Right.
Man.
Anyway,
Drew Brees,
no.
You are totally not a team player, brother.
No, he's not going to be playing football this season anyway.
So. That's
so
right.
Anyway,
he's going to get injured during the preseason.
He's going to get like decapitated watching like playing Wii Sports on his TV or something before the season.
No, he'll get a preview of Move and he'll get decapitated that way.
I thought this was my turn to speak.
Sorry, buddy.
I could have been mistaken. Anyway, it was really really nerve wrenching. My first one, my interviewing cherry was popped. With Joe Horn of ex-Saint. Yeah, I think he even played in Atlanta for a little bit. And I don't even know if you can see it in a video yet because I haven't seen the video on like a big screen, but my wrist was shaking holding it up to his face, and I'm like, oh my God.
He's like, would you stop moving around the fucking microphone?
I was holding that microphone, man. My wrist was about to give out. I was so nervous.
I could see him sitting there like, is this dude about to have a seizure or something? What the hell's going on?
So where you just walked over and be like, football, huh?
How about them footballs?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I think I interviewed about seven ex-professional football players. Joe Horn, Deuce McAllister, Chuck Munsey, who played back in the 70s.
Chuck Norris,
Bobby Hebert, who was a quarterback in the 90s, who's one of my favorites.
I remember Bobby, yeah.
Yeah, and then also Marshall Faulk was there.
Really?
I interviewed Marshall Faulk. Funny little side note. I don't know if this is going to make the final cut of the video, but I asked Marshall Faulk if he had any words of wisdom for Drew Brees for being in the cover to avoid the Madden curse, and he was not happy.
Oh, really?
Are you serious?
He was not happy.
He got screwed. Didn't he get screwed big time?
He got hurt.
Yeah, didn't he break his, like, or tore his ACL.
I don't know. I forgot what happened, but like he got hurt. He was down and out because of the Madden cover.
Marshall Faulk. He's
because he was playing for the Falcons when that happened, right?
No, he was playing for the Rams.
Yeah.
Was it the Rams? Okay.
Yeah.
But he's a UGA grad, right? That's his claim to fame.
I I don't know. No, he was born and raised in Louisiana. I'm not really sure where he went to college.
I might be thinking of someone else, but I'm pretty sure. I thought he was a UGA guy.
Yeah. So the interviewing the celebrities and everything was fun. It was interesting, but it was kind of a challenge though, because I mean, how much can you ask ex professional football players about a video game? There was a couple of guys that were of the younger generation who still played Madden, and I could ask them about, and you know, I could shoot the shit video game wise with them. And that was fun. But I got a chance to interview a lot of the developers too, and I'll credit.
Did you speak to Mr. Peter?
No, Peter Moore was not there.
No,
unfortunately. But I met up with a couple of guys, audio supervisor, the guy who is pretty much the supervisor of the entire project. I didn't get to talk to him. Ian Cummings was there, who I mean, I've seen around really focusing on EA Sports stuff. I really would have liked to talk to him, but I just never – by the time I got the chance to, I mean, we were so tired. Like, we were just going around all day just trying to get interviews and stuff. But that was really, really fun, and I loved interviewing the developers. And interviewing a video game developer is like – you're able to professionally do something for your organization, but you're also able to geek out at the same time. It is really, really fulfilling in some odd way. But anyway, what else happened? A listener came by, a listener who lives down in Louisiana. You know Jay Hest?
Yeah.
Jay Hest. Oh, yeah. He actually came by toward the later end of the of the events and stopped by the cafe. We kind of let him upstairs a little bit so he can come see the game and everything. He's not a big football player, but football fan. But we hung out with him, and then we were heading towards where the parade was. So we all walked up and down Bourbon Street and got a couple of drinks and everything. Hung out with Jay for a little bit, and he was fun, cool guy.
Cool,
enjoyed that. So he was.
If he's only
around
in Louisiana, man, that buddy better be making it to the deuce.
He better be at the deuce. Well, I know he has twins, so I don't know how that's... Oh, he's going to have twins, like, right around that time. I don't know how that's going
to
work.
Oh, I think I remember him mentioning that to me.
Yeah. But it was great, and it was a really fun time. I won't talk too much about it, but I do want to send out some big, big thanks to a couple of people. Jonathan Peel, who was pretty much my cameraman. Not only was he, like, my cameraman and helping me out with that stuff, he, like, really learned the equipment, like, really, really fast and just dug deep. But he was also... So, like, after we had taken care of the of interviewing the professional players, he was going around, like, saying, "You work for EA? What do you do? What do you do?" And he's grabbing them and bringing them over to me and have him interview us. So, like, the actual developers that we got, that's the credit to him. So I'll give him the love there. And also Ricardo Najjar, another buddy of mine, he lives here in Georgia. He gave us the transportation to there and also room and board free, staying with family who lives over there. In the 7th Ward, whoop whoop. So
that's pretty awesome.
We had a really good time. So yeah, it was great. And then also Jonathan Peel, my cameraman, he works at a GameStop, so he gave me this huge cardboard like advertisement of like Ezio behind like in front of this like Assassin's Creed. Like it's massive. It's almost taller
than me.
It's
pretty awesome.
So that's in the man cave, and then this God of War 3 poster that I'm going to get framed. And also, I didn't show you guys this before recording. He also got me that $30
John Madden
hard
tattoo on
your penis. No, that $30 hardbound Mass Effect like collector's edition strategy guide.
Oh,
the one that looks like the one that looks wet on the cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just gave me that. Like so.
Dude, I was pretty totally jealous. That's pretty cool.
Oh, and that also thank you for EA. They gave me a copy of Madden.
Nice,
on the
free.
That's
good stuff, man.
Yeah, that was really, really cool. I'll credit that to Rob,
to do a review for
PR
that.
Guy.
I've been hearing mixed things so far, so I'm looking forward to hear what you say about it. Because you legitimately play it like a lot every year, right?
Yes, I'll touch on it a little later on. I'll touch on it a little later on.
Cool. All right. Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, doing well. Doing all right.
You sound good.
Good to be back. Took a break.
We missed you last week, brother.
It was funny. I think it was Oates who mentioned it, I guess when the show was released, and he's like, "No, Jeff, what the hell?" He's like, "Ever since I've started listening, he's been on every single show." And I was thinking back, I'm like, I think I've only missed two episodes ever, and that was, well, last week, and then the show when I went to Punta Cana for a week. And I was like, "Damn it!" I almost want to just like go on the show just for a second, just so I can keep a streak going. Or something.
Well, you were on the show, dude. We got a voicemail from you.
No, yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. There we go.
You didn't miss last week. Yeah, you didn't miss it. You were still there. It's fine.
Yeah, it was tough to do that thing too because Dane, aka Crackerjack, was here for the weekend. So he's sitting there, like, beside me, doing this. Like, I can't do this. So I'm like, I didn't know what I was thinking. But yeah, he came in for the weekend. First time ever in Canada. Cool. He seemed to like Toronto quite a bit. We basically played a lot of Street Fighter the first night and a little bit the next day. But most of the weekend was pretty much going out to different bars and stuff across Toronto and just kind of hanging out and stuff.
So like there was a lot of drinking and there was a lot of Street Fighter.
There was a lot of Street Fighter the first night and a little bit the next day during the day. But other than that, there really wasn't that many video games being played, actually. Like he actually beat Limbo in, like, two sittings because I had actually had to work one of the days for, like, half a day. So that's what he did when I was gone.
All right.
And, yeah, other than the first night here, we really didn't really play too many games. Well, he did play Trials a lot, and he's got, like, the record, like, every single, like, medal or leaderboard on that game, he's, like, at the top. So I'm challenging somebody out there, if they can, at Cracker Jack to, there might be a number after that. I have to get back. I might, like, tell you guys, put it in show notes or something like that. But add him to your friends list, and if anyone can beat him on, like, five tracks that he has, I'll think of some kind of prize to give you, because it's ridiculous how good he is at Trials HD. It's crazy. But yeah, but I want him. I don't want him on number one on every single track. That's just like, it can't happen. It's not allowed. So, including Silent Hero Shura. He was on top for a long time too, but not anymore. So someone step up to the plate, dethrone him. It was a lot of drinking, a lot of going out and stuff. And I went to the tattoo parlor to get my tattoo, like a consultation for my new tattoo. And unfortunately, it's going to take the guy like 3 weeks to draw it up. So that sucks. And I'm an anxious person with like no patience.
Well, so, you know, patience, you know, goes, you know, it's worth the patience when you're looking at something like a tattoo that's going to be on your body for the rest of your life.
That is true. And it's not exactly a small one. So,
yeah,
I guess it's a good thing. I have a lot of time to contemplate whether or not I actually want to go through with it or not. But, yeah, that was pretty much it for my week, that and work, and yeah, that's about it.
Okay, cool.
Cool.
What about you, Chris?
Yeah, first, I was incorrect. It was not, who were we talking about?
What do you mean?
The running back that we were talking about earlier?
Herschel. You were probably thinking of Herschel Walker.
Yeah, he went to UGA. I think San Diego State, and it was, for some reason, I got him confused with Garrison Hirsch, because they sound so fucking similar. Anyway. Garrison Hirsch went to UGA, not Herschel Walker. Anyway.
No, Herschel Walker went to UGA.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay, well, whatever.
Go back to Castlevania. I'll take your sports on this side.
That sounds good. I mean, not much going on, you know. I'm still in that zone of no news is good news, because, you know, Liam is still healing up. He's doing a great job, and he's pretty much back to normal. Happy baby, and we're glad. So that's pretty much good stuff. Yeah, it's been a rough month, but you know, I think in the end it's better for him, and he's healthier, and that's what's really important. So that's pretty much it. So before we get into some games, let's talk about IndisFest.
IndisFest.
All right, so
one more game.
We're still getting stuff together. I did a head count last week, guys, and we've got close to 40 people before locals are involved.
Woo!
So
that's hot.
And there's a bunch of people I've talked to who haven't confirmed yet, but they're going.
Okay. Well, they need to confirm with me, because if you guys are going to get a loot bag, you're going to miss out.
Yeah.
You're going to miss out on your loot bag if you.
No, you want them fat loots.
Yeah.
You want those fat loots.
So the whole Reconfest crew.
Yeah, Reconfest crew is coming. I got confirmation from Double Recon, and he said that most likely Johnny as a boy is going to come too, and Ricky said that he's bringing a couple people too, so, you know, that's Reconfest.
Yeah, but he says that every time.
Well, yeah. Well, last week he brought one person, or last year, and this year he said he's going to keep bringing two. So, yeah, I mean, right now we've got close to 40 people, and that's before the locals are involved. So it's going to be a big-ass party, guys. I mean, you really need to get out here. It's going to be fun. You know, if you have issues finding someone to room with at the hotel, drop me a PM on VG Evo. I will be happy to find someone to room with you. You know, I did that for a few people last year, and it helped them out, saving money. You know, we will do whatever it takes to help you guys. You know, to help you guys have a cost effective trip down to Atlanta and join us for IndisFest.
And it will be fun.
It will be fun. So November 5th and 6th. NRT on Friday, Battle and Brew on Saturday, as well as more. So get with it. Check out the topic on VG Evo.
I was going to say, should I announce the one tournament we're going to have going?
There. Go for it, dude. Go for it.
We're going to get together. I know everyone hates Muay Thai with Street Fighter, but let's be honest, a lot of people like playing it. We're going to do a little for shits and giggles. Might be a prize, whatever. We'll see what happens. But basically a team Street Fighter, Super Street Fighter 4 tournament. So it's going to be teams of three. We're not sure whether or not you guys are going to be picking your own teams or we're going to pick them out randomly or how we're going to do it, have like basically picks. But our team is basically set. So, Chris, I don't know. I think you said you didn't want to. Did you want to take part in this or not? I don't know. Who knows?
Oh, no. If it was going to be like an Indus versus thing, I was going to be involved.
That's basically what it's going to be. Yeah.
Because didn't we say you're going to have to go up the tree of Indus and it's going to be you're going to have to get it through Travis and I first and then get to you and then get to Jason or something like that?
Well, the way I have it said right now, no. It's just going to be basically like just plain tournament styles. And then if we get eliminated, Team Indus early, that's fine. We get eliminated. But you do have to fight us again for like the grand. Like the final thing or whatever. But, so it'll be teams of three. I'll put all the details up on, I'll put them up on VG, but we'll also put them up on our website, and I'm sure we'll talk about it more in detail here. But,
yeah, we'll see. If it's going to be teams of three, if one of us has to sit out, it's probably going to be me because I'm the least of the four that isn't a Street Fighter. But, you know, if there's some way to figure it out, then I'll play too. I have no problem with that.
Well, we'll figure something out. I mean, it's all in good fun. It's all I get to see now.
Absolutely.
Even though Street Fighter is a serious business.
Serious business.
Yeah.
It ranks right up there with podcasting as far as serious business goes.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. If we can get like at least like maybe six teams, that'd be totally badass.
And there's going to be other tournaments going on.
Oh,
there's going to be prizes
this is like
and
a
shit.
New edition.
It's
yeah.
You know, we've got a lot of stuff planned. So, you know, November 5th and 6th, mark your calendar, guys. And you know, you've got 3 months to save money and get out here. It's going to be worth it. I promise.
Is it really only 3 months away?
Yeah, it's really only 3 months away. Dude.
Son of a bitch.
It's pretty crazy. I looked at my calendar yesterday. I was like, holy shit, it's like around the corner. All right, cool. Let's talk about some games because I know there's a lot of shit that we're going to talk about this week. So, Travis, why don't you start us off, man?
Madden.
All right, Jeff.
As expected, it is the only thing I've played this week.
Yeah, but I want to hear what you think about it right now because I've been literally hearing mixed reviews.
I've heard it was like the best one yet.
I've heard that, and I've also heard it's the worst one in the last 5 years.
Wow.
I don't
know where you heard that from.
There's people on Twitter like that, and a lot of reviews have said this is they didn't really add too much in this one. It's more of a roster update, and they've apparently, like, I don't play, like, I don't care either way whether it's good or bad, because I'm not a big football person, but you can basically say this is true or not, that they basically dumbed down the gameplay this one and made it more kind of, not arcadey, but if you're, like, a hardcore sim person, they took out a lot of stuff that you would have enjoyed from last year's version.
I'm going to have to say I 100% disagree with everything you just said just now, completely.
Right. Well, I'm just relaying information, so to
this,
speak.
In terms of a sports sim, this puts you more deeper on the field than any other Madden game.
Did you say more deeper?
Deeper. More mo deeper.
Mo deeper.
You like that? Mo deeper.
Yes, gentlemen, he is from New Orleans.
And I gotta say, this is the first time I played a Madden where I've said, okay, I'm enjoying this, but man, NFL 2K5 did this, though. Or NFL 2K5 did this, though. And I really like that. And Madden, it's okay. This is the first year where I can honestly say that I'm done with the references to NFL 2K5.
So after 5 years, they
finally after 5 years, they caught up.
After 5 years, yeah.
Because 2K was awesome.
I see where they're saying the game's dumbed down. And it's only because of the fact they simplified play calling. That is it. And no longer,
I don't think that's dumbed down. That's
it's just not dumbed down because you can still set your own game plan, what plays you want to do for what situation you're in. Like, you can set a set of five plays and rank them from 1 to 5. Like, I want to do this one the most, but if not, do this one the most for, like, 1st and 10. And then 2nd and long, 2nd and short, 2nd and goal, 3rd and short. All these situations, you pick what plays you want, and then the coach picks those plays for what situation you're in. Because originally, when you're playing a football game, you just pick from a list of 100-plus plays, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, or you go with Madden's choice.
Exactly. In this game, it's different. In this game, it's different. You set your own game plan, because in real life, a coach doesn't say, okay, let's just pick this play. This looks good. They have a poster board, and they look down at their sheet, and they look at what situation they're in. If they're in second and third down, they look at their sheet, at their list of plays for second and third, and they pick a play from that. That's how it's done, and that's how it's done in this game. So people can think, yeah, it's dumbed down and simplified, it doesn't work, or it's just a glorified Ask Madden. That's not the case. It's more realistic in terms of how plays are called in the NFL, and I really, really like it. They completely took out the speed burst button, which blew some of the hardcore's mind, but it, again, it brings it more to the simulation level where you can be more methodical and pick your blocks. And the blocking has been improved. But I will say that there are opportunities in the blocking. You're still going to have some linemen that are just standing around, looking around for their block, trying to, you know, hold the pocket steady. But a linebacker comes by and just smokes your quarterback and just walks right by the guy who's supposed to be blocking him. So it's improved. It is far from fixed.
Yeah.
I like what they did a little bit with the audio. Has been a big issue. They've made like every venue, every stadium authentic by bringing in licensed music and licensed sounds. Like when a Saints score a touchdown, you know, the crowd literally chants
the Saints.
No, they literally chant who dat. Like who dat said they're going to beat them. Saints. Like they chant that. Like it's really, really cool. And then there's other neat things. Well, back to the audio still. Commentary is an issue in sports games that is highly, highly criticized. And they did some really cool stuff by adding in this guy, Gus Johnson, who is he's known for being very, very emotional. And he brings that emotion to the game. But when you have audio commentary for sports, which is so pieced together, like you can still hear it, you know? You can still kind of hear, like, every character... Like, or every player, like Drew Brees ran for something, you know, something like that, or passed. so you can still hear stuff like that, and it sounds normal because the other guy, Chris Collinsworth, when he's doing the color commentary, it still flows. But when you have a guy who's putting so much emotion, it's like the quarterback drops back, and it throws it deep. Touchdown! And it's like it's so fragmented. Sounds very odd putting that emotion into it. They're almost there. They're almost.
Well, that's
there.
Is that his first time doing it? Because it's his first game. Yes. Madden's not doing the commentary.
Oh no, Madden hasn't done a commentary in quite a few years.
Thank God.
In the early years of the next gen consoles, it's been this quote unquote like radio broadcaster, and that was god awful. Yeah, so, but then they brought in Chris Collinsworth and another guy last year, and that was kind of, but a little boring.
It takes a while, I think. It takes a while for, like, because, I mean, even the hockey games, like, once they finally got the Hockey Night, they had the Hockey Night in Canada guys do it for a while, all the EA Sports guys, and it took a good couple years for that to actually really get good, because they just keep bringing them in every year and adding stuff, basically, and then it just kind of makes sense.
But, right. They also improved a lot with the animations. I'm seeing receivers do stuff I've never, and the movements are still pre-canned, which sucks, but I'm still to this day seeing way more new animations for receivers and cornerbacks. So yeah, it's not, then there are still issues. Like I'm still seeing that normal thing that happens in every Madden where like you throw a ball and sometimes even if the receiver is in like, they're in like, they're really like shoulder to shoulder with the defender, you know, they'll kind of like magnetically gravitate toward the ball, and it just doesn't look very realistic. So that's still an issue that needs to be fixed too.
Also why I'm scared of NBA Elite, and I'm wondering when Madden goes into development compared to when the NBA games go into development, because the whole thing with the NBA is this whole like they're changing up everything, basically building from the ground up, and this has had this whole true physics system where everything's going to have like almost like the Euphoria Engine type shit.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, I asked Dan Baker, who's one of the supervisors at EA, and he said that they pretty much start the day it's released the next week. They're back to planning, you know. Week. Yeah, they're on a 12.
Because then I wonder, because like I just remember watching videos of the NBA stuff, and they're like, oh yeah, it's a brand new animation system, but then they're still doing the same canned dunks and layups and everything from every previous game. So. But did you play the, what's it called, game? That football game that came out like a few months ago?
Backbreaker?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't like it at all, but apparently there's
but was
a...
was it good for animation and stuff? And like.
Oh, yeah, but it's just the camera was terrible. But apparently there's a brand new, a game-changing update coming up, and it's going to allow you to change the camera. It's going to allow for different passing because the passing was terrible. It's going to be more Madden-like passing.
But in terms of animations, though, you did see a difference between
wonderful.
Madden and
Madden? No, it's night and day. There
really?
Are no two tackles or no two
that are the same
like
kind of thing.
Yes, you know, scenes where two guys are, you know, going head to head. That's similar to each other.
I wonder why EA would just,
it's amazing.
You know, license that. Wouldn't just or buy them.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe there's issues with, you know, production. They'd have to start from scratch, and right now they have a good game. Why start from scratch when you get, I mean, this game's like a, for me, it's an 8.5. You know, it's an 8.5 game. Mm-hmm. Like it's impressive. It's solid.
Best one this generation?
Without a doubt. This is my favorite. This is my favorite one since the last one before the next gen consoles came out, because they were true. Tiburon truly perfected Madden
in
2 days. And they're getting there. They're
dude,
almost there. I think one more year. I think one more year. The issues that I'm having you know today will be gone. But I love it. I'm sounding like I'm like kind of down on it. I love this game. I'm gonna be playing. I'm serious, guys. You have the first time you've really known me for a Madden release. I'm gonna be on this every day, all day, and nothing else for a while. So this is my
cool,
my truth. But yeah, I like it, and I'm gonna be doing a review soon, and hopefully you guys, as soon as I get to Jason this week, we're going to go ahead and collaborate and start on a video. Hopefully that video will be out as soon as possible. Ideally, I like to release the video and the review on the same day to have it all in one, you know, one sitting for you guys. So that'll be coming up soon, and literally all I've been playing, just Madden.
Cool. Hey, nothing wrong with that. We know you're into it. So, Jeff, take it away, buddy.
Oh, man, I haven't really played too much. Like I said, Cracker Jack was here. He actually picked me up for staying here, Blaze Blue Continuum Ship.
Nice.
Sweet.
Yeah, so I was thinking about picking that up. I didn't play it too much. Did a couple of the challenges. Of course, I picked up Jin as my first character. And I don't know if they changed something with the game or if it's just my fighting stick, but I wasn't able to get out dashing at all because they added in a challenge mode, which is anyone who's played Street Fighter 4 or Super Street Fighter 4. It's basically a mode that teaches you combos and stuff like that. And they didn't have that in the first Blaze Blue. So they have it in this one. And I could not nail similar combos I was doing in the first one. And so we put in a control pad, and that wasn't so much of an issue. So I don't know. Like this is the one thing that's not stopping me from playing it, per se. But it just kind of felt weird, I guess, because I couldn't pull out the stuff I could in the first game. Like, whether or not they made changes on purpose or whatever, couldn't get the timing down. But overall, it's $40, like if you're going to go buy it retail. So same price Super Street Fighter 4. If you're going to compare content-wise for Super Street Fighter 4 and Blaze Blue, Continuum Shift, I don't think they really compare. Like, Street Fighter gave you a hell of a lot more. I think that this adds in two new characters, another character which you have to download for $8, which I don't get why they did that.
That is kind of weird.
I'm pretty sure she was available first day or like the next week or something like that. That being said, it is very, it's a full featured game in terms of teaching you how to play the game. Like Blaze Blue and I guess like Arc System Works, they did the best with Blaze Blue, the first release, on how to kind of if you had a limited edition one, the one that came with like the DVD, it taught you how to do combos, taught you how to like kind of use characters. This one takes it a step further. Everything's on the one disc. Teaches you combos and even teaches you how to use certain characters. So you pick your character. I can't remember what the actual mode is called, but you go in and be like, hey, this character is best used as like a rushdown character. So you should use this and this to start off like an attack, and then if this like it actually goes into like not super detail, but at least to get you started on a character and know how to use them. So it's not just like throwing you in, here's combo A, B, C, D, E, F, G, whatever. This is when you should use those combos, and this is how you should attack or defend against your opponents, which I thought was really cool. And they put in a lot of effort into it because unlike Super Street Fighter, when you want a challenge mode, you can actually hit a button to see what you're supposed to do. Because Travis, I know, you've been trying to pick up Guile. Have you done any of his challenges at all lately?
Jason and I dabbled a little bit while we were at Battle and Brew last Tuesday or two Tuesdays ago, but that was it. Yeah,
because like the problem with that is it tells you what you're supposed to do, but there's no visual for it, so you don't really know the timing of it. And then sometimes things seem like this is ridiculous. Why isn't this timing working? And then you realize that it's this little thing that you're missing or whatever, and you can't see it. But Blaze Blue, there's a button you hit, it shows you exactly what you're supposed to do, which is pretty damn cool. Like in terms of like letting you learn the game, I think it's great. I think there's no other game that does it better in terms of fighting games. Like it's great. I haven't played it too much though, so I'm not can't comment. I intend to play it actually quite a bit to next show because I really want to get into it because I really like the first game. But we just kind of dabbled in that a little bit. And other than that, what did I play? Some Castlevania.
Yeah.
HD. Oh wait, no, not HD. Harmony of Despair. A little bit. Yeah.
What do you think?
I like it and don't like it at the same time.
Okay.
I like it when you're playing multiplayer.
Yes.
I don't like it single player at all.
Okay.
And I honestly do think, like I said in my like email or voicemail last week, that this game really does feel like it was thrown together to get out there as soon as possible and then throw it up for Summer Arcade.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. You know, I mean, they've already come out and said that there's going to be DLC coming, and it's like, you know, well, why this early after the release, why wouldn't it just be included in the game? And, you know, like I said last week on the show, one of my biggest pet peeves about the game is that it's a six-player game with only five playable characters, and I think that's retarded.
Yeah, that is pretty dumb. Yeah, it's not even so much, it's even that the menus suck. Like, there's terribly designed menus. And it's weird the way it's set up. The fact that a player can't join mid-game.
Or even mid-chapter, like between chapters.
Even between chapters they can't join. It's pretty ridiculous. They don't tell you how to use anything. There's not really any kind of tutorial. Like, if you're using Shinoa and you've never played Order of Ecclesia, you're going to have no idea what you can do.
Yeah, that's
none
true. And you don't, it's like they don't really tell you, like, each character has a different way to like get new attacks and increase their attack power and stuff like that, but they don't tell you any of that.
No, they don't. So you're looking through there being like, well, why aren't I getting new weapons with her? Like, why aren't I getting new this and this? Because that's not how she does it.
Right.
She's got to, like,
she has
steal
to
them.
Absorb the glyphs. And,
yeah, exactly.
You know, there's a limited number of glyphs that you can absorb, and you never know where they're going to be. You know, there's like the first one that you can get is on chapter 2, and there's like two enemies on the screen that have it, and that's it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's, and then the next one you get is on like chapter 4. So
yeah,
there's not even anything in chapter 3.
Like,
all you have to do is hold up. All you have to do is hold up so that she exposes her back and she absorbs the glyph.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's just like, okay, so it's just like the DS one.
Yeah, just like the DS one. Yeah.
Yeah, but those are like my two biggest gripes, like that and the fact that it doesn't really teach you how to play it. But once you get like a bunch of people in there, it is a lot of fun. It is pretty cool. Yeah. Minus the kind of, I don't know if you've seen the crazy bugs that I've seen, but that game is buggy as ass. Like, I don't know, like it's freezing every once in a while or kick people out of a game. And then yet we'll still be playing the game, but we can't do damage. We're not getting hit for damage. And all of a sudden it just warps back out to the screen where there's a book.
Well, that's a lag
turning
issue. That's all. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, I'm talking like for like a long time. Like it's like we'll be sitting there fighting a boss, and like it is lag, but the lag shouldn't last like a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Like sitting there, like, hey, this is weird, and then it goes to the book turning pages forever, and then it's like, all right, guys, well, something obviously happened. Let's back out and go back in. You lose everything that you got playing that playthrough, but you know. Whatever, it's still fun.
Yeah, no doubt. The game is definitely it's not without its problems, that's for sure. I mean, it does have some issues, but I mean, I played a lot of it this week too. You know, I mean, that's the main thing that I played this week. I got to play, I played through the first five chapters. There's six chapters total. So I got up to chapter 6, and, you know, each stage is really large. Each stage is different, and they all have like unique ways to get through them and stuff like that. And I really like that idea. And especially on like stage 3, when you fight the boss that takes up pretty much half of the map, and you know there's multiple ways to kill him and that kind of thing. I mean, that's pretty cool. So
for sure,
yeah,
for sure. It's gonna be. I don't know if they announced the price of the new DLC. I know it's another level plus another character.
It needs to be $5.
It needs to be $1.99.
Well, it won't be $1.99. But if it's any more than $5, they can forget it.
Yeah, dude. I'm sorry. When you get like deaths, like even games that aren't Summer Arcade, like Deathspank and even Monkey Island 2 and stuff like that, like compared to what you're getting for $15 versus with Castlevania, And I was like, no, it just doesn't seem right. Like, these are DS sprites up-resed with assets that have been used for the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, it's $15, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I won't argue with that. I won't, because it's true. I mean, it's, you know, the game is definitely, it's everything in the game is reused assets, you know? But I mean, I have to give them credit where it's due, where they took a game that has never been that, you know, it's never been in this type of genre, and they put it together and they made it work fairly well. I mean, it's not perfect by any means, but, the game is definitely fun. I mean, I got to play a lot with Animated Fan and, you know, some other people on VG Evo as well. And, you know, we just had a great time with it, and you know, that's really what's important. And it does.
Oh, totally agree.
It definitely has that like loot grab feel to it.
And I do hope it does sell well, because I'm really hoping that if they do a sequel or a new game, that it's actually done with brand new hand drawn sprites in HD, and they add in a bunch of stuff that they probably wanted to have in this, just fix up things here and there. Because if people buy it, Konami will listen. Because I mean, that's probably why the game's there in the first place, right? So that'd be awesome.
Well, we've talked about it before. I mean, Castlevania is a big enough it's a big enough franchise where it's actually branched into multiple genres. And this is just like, it's like its first entry into this online space. And
hey, you know, next year, Castlevania first person whipper. awesome shit.
But yeah, I mean, so, you know, who knows? This might be just like a test bed to see how it does. And then, you know, they might do something more with it. I mean, I would be cool with that too. So
I hear you.
We'll see.
Just stick on the same topic, except Summer of Arcade. I downloaded the trial for Monday Night Combat.
How is that?
It actually is really cool. And again, right away in the first 2 minutes, you see the whole difference between $15 with this game, $15 with other games. It's pretty cool. It's got the kind of Team Fortress mixed with, I want to say like Unreal, or like, but it's third person. Like, it's got the kind of quirky like class based system that Team Fortress has. But you're in an arena. The trial, I don't think you can actually play online 6 versus 6. I think you can just do like the single player stuff. It had a lot of charm. Third person shooter, you're basically in an arena, you're trying to like kill the other team, whatever, different weapons and setting up like turrets and stuff like that. The only problem I have with the game is not necessarily the game's fault. It's that it's really, really, really targeted towards multiplayer. And if this is going to be like any other Xbox Live Arcade game, people will play it for a week, 2 weeks, in terms of like people that you possibly know on your friends list, and then not again.
Yeah, yeah.
That is my biggest... I don't like that. Like, I mean, it does have single player, and also it does have co-op as well, split screen as well as online, but I'm pretty sure it's just like the multiplayer with bots, and that's not really fun for me.
Right.
Like, okay. I mean, I don't know. That being said, I haven't pulled the trigger yet. I have, like, I had the points for it. I expected to buy it, but I just haven't done it yet because even yesterday, I only had, like, 2 or 3 people on my friends list playing it. And
really?
They're people I don't really, people I don't really tend to play games with too often. So I know if I do buy it, it'll be, like, a 1 week fling, and then that's about it. Then I'll move on to Tomb Raider next week.
But yeah.
You know, whatever. This is pretty, pretty cool. I mean, everyone, like, I think you should download the trial. No, it's got character, that's for sure.
Yeah, I haven't tried it yet, so I need to look into that.
And yeah, that's pretty much it, man. That and like besides Street Fighter, stuff like that. And I know there's another game in play, but I'm sure you're going to talk about it too. So I'll save that for when you're doing your distractions.
All right, cool.
So Chris, what's been distracting you?
All right. Well, we talked about Castlevania a little bit. As I said, I got through the first 5 chapters. I mean, most of it was multiplayer. I got to play with most of the characters now. The only character I haven't played with is Soma. You know, I love the fact that they're all different, and they all play uniquely, and they all, you know, they hold true to the version of the character that they were, that was in the game that they starred in. So I thought that was really cool. Let's see, what else have I played? The Valkyria Chronicles 2 demo came out on PSN the other day.
Okay.
And I am, you know, it's the same demo that they had at E3. And I, you know, I continue to say that this game is really good. If you liked the PS3 version and you have a PSP, this is a very competent transition to the portable space. It looks, I mean, it doesn't look as good, of course, but it has the same like canvas style. It still looks beautiful. It plays pretty much the same. You know, I mean, there's a few button configuration differences, but I mean, the gameplay is intact. And it's on the PSP, and pretty much everything that you know, everything about the first one is in the second one. You know, they have a few things that are, you know, fixed here and there. But yeah, I mean, overall, I'm really happy with it. I mean, it's easily a day one purchase, and, you know, I mean, I have a feeling I'm going to love this one just as much as I love the first one. So, that's pretty much the deal with that. I highly suggest anybody with a PSP go out and get that demo and check it out.
I don't even know where my PSP is, to tell you the truth. I was looking for it like a while ago, and I can't find it.
Yeah, it was when I was over there. You couldn't find
it. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you were here. I'm like, I can't fucking find my PSP anywhere. I was looking forward to sell it, but whatever.
Travis stole it.
Yeah. I have my own.
Travis can't. He's selling yours. He's actually keeping his.
He's so nice. Have fun with that $15.
Yeah. let's see, what else did I play? I played some, all right, let's talk about it, Jeff. Scott Pilgrim.
Let's do it.
All right.
I absolutely love the visual style and the music of this game.
Agreed.
It is so appropriate and it's so charming.
Agreed.
And, you know, it
Agreed.
Makes you want to play the game and then you play it.
Agreed.
And you fucking hate it.
Agreed.
Oh man, this. I mean, okay. I'm not gonna say it's bad because it's not a bad game. It's just that it's so cheap. I mean, it's like, all right. Here's a perfect example of what
okay.
I'm talking about.
For example of what I said last week. So, got a Pilgrim, $10.
Yeah.
GameStop of Arcade, $15. Just saying.
So in like the first stage, you'll see like exclamation points pop up, and a bus drives by, right? And what it's doing is dropping off enemies to come and fight you. And the enemies will actually walk through the bus and attack you before you even have a chance to react to it. It's like they get right in your face.
You
so
just say
fast.
Whack.
What's that?
That's awesome. Oh, did Travis just say whack?
The shit's whack, yeah.
It is.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. There is some cheap ass shit going on in the game. And you know, everyone that I've talked to has displayed that they are having frustrations with this game. And it's pretty bad when you have to talk about a beat 'em up and say that the frustrations go away after you level up your character. You know? Oh, so after I get the higher defense, so a dude's not doing 25
well,
damage
like,
to me in one hit.
That's like the whole Travis thing in Final Fantasy. Dude, trust me, play it for 15 hours and it becomes awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that's what really gets me. It's like there are so many good beat-em-ups out there that you could have mimicked. You know, and you know,
yeah, like go back and play Streets of Rage 2.
Seriously, Streets of Rage 2 is still my favorite beat-em-up to this day.
I literally when the game came out, like Tuesday or something like that.
Yeah, it was Tuesday.
So I downloaded the demo, and I'll start off straight by saying I have not read any of the Scott Pilgrim books whatsoever. I basically know nothing about him and the comics. Like Tanya's been reading them; she loves them. We're gonna go see the movie. The movie does look cool, but so this is basically strictly on gameplay. Like Chris, love the graphics, love the music, love the aesthetics, definitely. Playing to the game. I was like, I don't think this would make a good beat 'em up in 89.
Yeah.
Never mind. Like, I can understand the throwback set. To me, the controls felt slow and clunky. And I was like, is this just me and just having good memories of beat 'em ups? And I threw in the Genesis Collection, plays some Streets of Rage 2. I'm like, this controls way better.
Yeah. It does. You're absolutely right.
And people are just going nuts with it. I'm like, oh, this is what games should be, like, a good throwback. I'm like, well, okay, yeah, I guess it's a good throwback, but there's no reason to control
it aesthetically.
Worse than,
aesthetically, yeah. It's a good throwback.
Oh, it's great.
Unfortunately, from a gameplay perspective, it's stuck in like the 60s, man.
And animation wise, is awesome.
Oh, yeah, the animation is fucking fantastic. I love
it. But I'm sorry. I've tried to play through the demo twice, and if I can't get through a demo, that's saying something in regards to gameplay.
Yeah.
And I can't do it. I'm like, I can. Well, Chris, we're talking, like, what you're saying right now, the cheap hits is a big issue.
And oh, yeah, it's huge.
I can understand. Like, well, cheap people will say cheap hits are a part of beat 'em ups. Cheap hits were in beat 'em ups to make people put in more quarters. That's what they were there for. This isn't an arcade game. Make it, like, add some skill to the game you're playing so if you want to, you can totally kick ass at this game. I played through it, and no matter how I thought, okay, I got the combos, and that's cool, whatever, I'd still get hit by stuff. I'm like, that's ridiculous. Why did I just get hit by that?
Yeah.
Like, that's
Okay. Yeah, cheap hits. Okay. For those that say cheap hits are a part of beat-em-ups, there are more cheap hits in the first half of stage one of Scott Pilgrim than the entire game of Streets of Rage 2.
I never want to see a baseball or a snowball in my entire life.
No shit. That snowball fight shit was bullshit.
Ooh, projectile.
Yeah. And everybody, there are so many people. And that's the thing. It's like you'll be fighting someone in like the corner of the screen, and all of a sudden you'll be getting your ass kicked by someone that you can't even see. You know, I mean, it's little things like that should never happen in a video game, let alone a beat 'em up. Any video game. It should never happen. And these things are happening in Scott Pilgrim. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad game, because it's not. But if you want the game for, you know, the aesthetic value and you know, for that keepsake, and you know, if you're into the comics or into the movie, whatever, go for it. If you want a good beat 'em up, go get Genesis Collection, play Streets of Rage 2.
Exactly. I'm going to buy it because it's based in fucking Toronto. And I mean, that's like, that's why I'm getting it. And actually, funny story about that. When Crackerjack was here, I figured people knew Scott Pilgrim, so neither of you guys read the comics, do you?
Mm-mm, no.
Yeah, well, apparently they go to Sneaky D's a lot, and that's an actual real place in Toronto.
Oh, is it?
Passed by there. And I was like, hey, it's Sneaky D's. He's like, what's that? I'm like, Scott Pilgrim? He's like, I don't read that stuff. I'm like, oh, all right then. We'll keep going. To the strip club.
To the strip club. To the movies.
We didn't actually go to strip club, but yeah. But I think that was cool. I'm like, oh my god, they actually have like, it's kind of cool. The first level, you see the CN Tower in the background, and on the world map, you see the Sky Dome and the CN Tower and all the different areas. I'm like, that's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah,
I'm gonna buy it just on that.
Well, we had you know, once in a while, like me and Travis and some of the other local, you know, people that we know that are gamers, will have an email thread going back and forth, and we had one for Scott Pilgrim. And our buddy Chibi Knight from VG Evo, we know him as John.
Hi, John.
He goes, one of the responses that he had is, get the bionic arm as soon as you can. And I was like, all right. And I found the bionic arm, and I was like, all right, cool. So bionic arm, it cost me, you know, $130, whatever, Canadian. So it's like, you know, $50.
That's some expensive-ass DLC.
I picked this up, and it basically increased my strength by 50, and that's all it did. And it's like, it's bad when you have to go and get an item as soon as you can, and all it does is make you hit harder. I mean, it just shows how imbalanced the game is. And that's really the best way that I can describe it, is the game is very imbalanced. It's like, when you first start that game, on chapter one, you are getting your ass handed to you. Like, regularly. It's crazy how bad you get you beat up. And, you know, and then you level up your character some, and you come back and you beat everyone's ass. And it shouldn't be that way. You know, the leveling up mechanic is to make it so that you are matched up with the enemies as you progress through the game. You shouldn't have to level up your character just to play stage one. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's a decent game. And for $10, I think it's pretty worth it just for.
And we didn't even mention the bugs.
Oh yeah, I got to the boss on the third stage, and nothing happened. It just kind of froze on me. It didn't actually freeze.
Cut out every once in a while.
Yeah, it didn't actually freeze, but the boss was doing his. Okay, so spoiler alert. The guy at the end of stage three is kind of playing Guitar Hero in the background, and then you play. You're like right next to him, like it's a Guitar Hero boss battle. It's like that retarded bullshit.
Yeah.
And you get one note that comes down. And then as soon as that note comes down, you hit a button and he attacks, you know, the boss. Well, whatever event was supposed to happen didn't happen on my game. It just kind of froze, and the boss just sat there and played Guitar Hero for like 5-10 minutes. And I had to exit out to the map and redo the entire third stage. So, yeah, it's kind of annoying. So there's some bugs to it. And, you know, for $10, I think that the aesthetics alone will sell this game, but from the beat-em-up standpoint, I don't think it's a good beat-em-up game. I just don't.
I agree. And I'm so happy you said that too, because after talking like through the emails the last couple of days, I'm like, Jason loves it. You sound like you love it. I'm like, oh no. I'm like, hopefully Travis hasn't play the game, or because I was like, maybe like, oh,
I got your back, buddy. No way.
I totally agree with you, Jeff. I mean, there's a lot of issues with this game, and you know, and the problem is that you don't start liking the game until you level up your character, and I don't think it should be that way. I really don't. And exactly. You know, there's a lot of people that are saying that it gets easier with multiple players, and I can understand that because you're not
multiple players that playthroughs or players. Oh, multiple players that you can't play online because there's no online co-op.
Yeah, there's no. It's local co-op only. So.
Hey, Kai, what's up, dude? Want to play some Scott Pilgrim? Oh, wait, you can't because you're a cat.
You're a cat. You don't have opposable thumbs.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's
Antonio.
Again, I love the aesthetics, but I just don't feel like it's a good beat 'em up game. So
agreed 100%.
If you're looking for a good beat-em-up game, Genesis Collection, Streets of Rage 2. That is still
You can download it on PSN or Xbox Live if you want to, actually.
Yeah, there you go. And in my opinion, that's still my favorite beat-em-up game of all time.
Hell yeah.
So, fist pound!
And that game is not whack.
No, that game is definitely not
Thank you,
whack.
Travis.
That game is crack for your hand.
All right, so the last game I want to mention that I've played...
And the world's longest distraction is brought to you by...
It's brought to you by Nexon, because I was playing some Vindictus, baby!
No! How was that?
I got in a closed beta, and, you know, I played...
Well, no shit.
Yeah, well...
I'm playing it.
After attempting to install it three times, I finally got the game installed, and I got to play it for about an hour today, and I got through, like, the first two, like, little areas... everything that I said from our E3 visit holds true. I mean, I still think it's a fantastic game. It's going to be something you want to check out. And, you know, for a free game, I will stick to my guns and say this is the best free online multiplayer MMO that I've ever played. And, you know, it's going to be that way. I don't know how much I can say about it. I mean, but you can check out the videos on our website. They can check out some of the gameplay videos that we have, but it is just a fantastic game. It's gorgeous and it plays really, really well. And it's so easy and fluid and just approachable that I really think anybody can pick up and play. So Vindictus for the win. Nexon, we continue to suck your dick.
And this is when I say I look forward to it coming out and I can download it. And then Never
play it because it won't run on your fucking computer.
Oh, really? Is it? Oh, I thought it was like another like.
No, it runs off the source engine, dude. It's actually a pretty.
I think it can handle source engines, maybe.
Well, if you think you can, if your computer can handle the source engine, you might be able to play it.
Jeff, did you look at those videos?
The game is
which videos?
The videos.
Oh
of
yeah,
Vindictus?
Yeah.
It's
as bad as your computer as you say your computer is. I don't know.
It's pretty shit, actually. Yeah.
But the game is fantastic. And I know that if Jason's listening right now, he's grinding his teeth and saying, I want to fucking kill you because I'm not in the closed beta. But Jason, I love you. You can come over and play it anytime you want.
I got to get in the beta, yo.
All right. Let's go through some quick news items. You guys have anything you want to talk about?
I got one thing. But Travis, you go first.
All right. Well, hold on. Time out. Let's pause for a second. And you know,
are we actually pausing as in like let's.
No. You know, I'm still talking. I just want to kind of mention. You know, we're trying something a little different with news now. You know, last week
it's
when
the
Jason
same thing
was
we've
on,
been doing for the past like month and a half.
Well, yeah, but kind of making it a little bit more official. I mean, we're just gonna talk about the things that we thought were interesting and just bullshit back and forth. You know, it's not going to be a dedicated news segment where Jeff goes and gets different news
that
items.
Shit sucks.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true.
Well, it's like 2 minutes before I go home from work. Like, fuck, I need to get news together.
And we've always seen ourselves, I put it in Jeff's words, a bar talk type of podcast. And it's kind of, we want to make it the way, three guys meeting after work and just talking video games and bringing up maybe some news here and there.
Pretty much, yeah.
And I think it works that way. So cool. Similar to what we did last week, really.
All right, Travis, throw it down, man. What you got?
Dude... Ken Levine, Irrational
Son
Games.
Son of a bitch! You took mine! I'm leaving.
Holy crap, man. I'm going to need to do some editing right there.
As you were.
As you were.
Okay. So I'm going to put this down in the simplest formula I could possibly do. Okay, so here it is. Ken Levine... BioShock.
Infinity.
Erection.
Oh, yeah, you can call it that, too.
Yeah, Ken badass. Levine, BioShock, and the result is a massive hard-on.
Yes.
This game is going to be the shit.
It looks awesome.
Sorry. It's going to be really, really cool.
It's so, like CG or whatever, but it looks cool.
So basically, what it is, it's a prequel.
BioShock and Sky City.
But it's Sky City. Like, the city's in the clouds. And it's really neat. And doing some reading, if you were to hop onto Destructoid, they had a one-hour preview demo, and they have a couple of screenshots of in-game. In-game, based on these screenshots that I'm seeing, it's a couple of them. It's not very much, but they do show a character model. It looks like BioShock, but just, like, it's brighter and more blue.
It looks beautiful.
Great. And it's going to look even better. But it still does look like BioShock, which is not a bad thing whatsoever. It's running on Unreal 3, where the last two BioShocks ran on 2.5. So they're on the new system. It's looking like they're going to be focusing on, with the older BioShocks, it was pretty much, you went up against the most, maybe like 3, 4, maybe 5 guys, but you never really got more than that. Where in this game, they're going to be focusing on, you'll still have like that corridor, shooter type, gameplay to where there's a few guys, going against you, but they're going to put you in some situations where you have 13, 14, 15 guys on your tail, and you have to decide whether or not, okay, do I need to go ahead and fight these guys off or hightail it and run? So they're going to give you those decisions and everything that you have to make on the fly. And the way powers work, your character, his name is Booker DeWitt. And he is, and I quote a Destructoid, he's known as a fixer. You're a man who gets things done for the right price. Whoa, come on, character of the year. You get things, and apparently he talks now, so no more silent protagonists, which is really cool. But you are similar to what you did in BioShock 2. I won't go too far into it, but through like the last 25% of the game, you have a pretty much partner throughout the rest of the game. And that's going to be the focus of BioShock Infinite. Whereas it's this girl named Elizabeth, man, she has like these telekinetic powers and everything. Well, she can infuse these powers into you, but these powers seem to be like taxing on a person's body. So she needs your help to either, do the. But here's the deal: if you're doing your powers with her and everything, the more you and her do the powers, the more it affects and takes a toll on your body. And that's going to affect the endings to the game, how you decide to use the powers and everything like that. Because it's not, they said they didn't want to create a superhero game. They wanted to create something that, even though you're using powers, keep it along the realms of reality and how it could, affect the human body. So there's some really cool stuff. Like Jeff said, the game looks beautiful so far. The CG trailer, very reminiscent from Ken Levine's very first CG trailer from BioShock System 1, it was like the first person, the first person CG of the guy taking on the Big Daddy and everything, and eventually getting killed. It's the same deal as the guy, trying to escape Columbia, which is the city is called, him just eventually dying. But you also get to see that Elizabeth woman for a minute. She kind of like distorts time and reality a little bit. So check the video out, because it's awesome stuff, man. This game is going to be hot.
Yeah, and if you didn't see it, Chris, it was what Project Icarus was, what they were working on.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah.
Right.
Cool.
It does look pretty awesome, and I'm not a huge BioShock fan. Like, I didn't even beat the first one. The second one, I like quite a bit. Actually, Travis kind of got me through that. That and Red Dead Redemption. Thank you, Travis. If it wasn't for Travis, I wouldn't be neither of those games. But for BioShock being like, you're close to the end, dude. Hang in there, buddy. Like, this is the only last one after this. It gets really good. And he was right. And Red Dead, when he was here, I'm like, I'm so sick of Mexico. And he's like, no, let's get you through these couple missions.
Let me get you through Mexico.
yeah, exactly. And then set it off. But this looks pretty odd. This looks good. It's no longer dark and gloomy. It's kind of bright and like still kind of looks like it could be really atmospherical and very, I don't know. It looks cool. Well,
in an interview, I think it was Joystick had an interview with Ken Levine. And he has said that, you have, you're going to see with the engine and the way the city's built, like you will see buildings collapse in real time, and something will happen, and whatever's keeping the buildings afloat will fall, and they'll fall down and crash in real time, all right in front of you. So there's apparently some really, really cool stuff that you're going to be able to do. So I'm pumped, dude.
Cool.
I'm all about Ken Levine, man. I have full trust in him. This is going to be cool.
True right. that. I was actually surprised it was a BioShock game, to be honest.
Me too.
It'd go directly to BioShock again.
I honestly thought it was going to be the next System Shock.
Yeah.
I really did. Yeah. I thought they were going to go sci-fi. But I guess not.
You were wrong. Cool. Chris, anything you've been...
Well, I mean, the obvious thing that people should expect me to talk about is Lords of Shadow Collector's Edition was kind of spotted.
Who? Oh, what's
go that? Fuck yourself. Okay, so it comes with the game, and it comes with an art book and a soundtrack, which is very cool. So I'll be picking that up. They had apparently there's rumors going around about a PSP smartphone, which is going to run Android, which.
I really don't.
All right, so Travis, you and I both have Android phones, and this is going to actually run off of the same processor that the Evo has, and the Sprint 4G Evo. And I really don't think it's going to be enough for Android and PSP games. I just don't think it's going to work very well if they're going to use that particular processor. You know?
Right.
So, I don't know. I mean, it's supposed to be...
That writes out a whole lot of who gives a shit to me.
But, it's...
He's like, right.
It just doesn't seem to me like it's going to work, you know?
Who plays games on their phone?
Well, I just don't think you should... That the PSP... Like, PSP games will work on an Android-based system. I just don't think that there's enough... there's enough horsepower there to handle it. So, I mean, maybe they'll prove me wrong. I mean, that would be cool. I would like to see it work, but I just don't see it working. Not for me. And the last thing that I wanted to talk about, which I know you guys are super excited about, Street Fighter 4.
Yeah!
For iPhone.
Dude, Madden. Fuck yeah.
Sea Viper's Crimson coming Viper to the iPhone.
For free, bitches!
Is it really free?
Yeah.
Do you have Street Fighter for iPhone?
I no comment. Actually, I don't. I want to, but I don't.
Why do you want to, man?
Apparently, it's not that bad. I'm just saying. But I know where this is going, so let's get it over with.
What are you talking about, Jeff? I have no idea what you mean.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I'm getting a text message right now from the App Store.
Oh, really? What's it say?
Yeah, I'm saying, check it out. Crimson Viper for free. They're like, I don't know, but...
Who gives a shit?
Kind of do.
I'm glad.
Okay, I know we just ended news this now with a who gives a shit, but I just saw something that just came out, and I can't believe we missed it.
Go for it.
What?
Call of Duty Black Ops Special Edition.
Oh, that comes with an RC car?
A video surveillance RC
serious?
Car.
Oh,
bought.
Wow.
Oh, bought. That is a purchase
you,
right there. I'm
you
sorry.
Are you are Activision's favorite kind of customer.
Did you get the night vision goggles?
No.
You didn't get the night vision goggles, but you're gonna buy a remote controlled car with surveillance?
Yeah.
Dude, that shit combined, you're a ninja.
Oh my god. That would be
you're
great.
Part of Splinter Cell.
Oh
this
shit.
This is great. I'm waiting, I'm looking, I'm trying to see if there's like a like a USB like attachment where you can line on that one.
Yeah, I'm actually waiting for a break so I can go take a piss, to be honest.
Anyway,
it's Black Ops. It's from Activision. Who cares? Anyway,
it's
sorry.
Be awesome.
Boo-hoo, boycott Activision.
I'm so glad I don't like first-person shooters. That way I don't have to worry
yeah,
about that shit.
Yeah, for real.
All right, so let's take a break then.
Yes, let's do that.
And we'll come back, we'll talk about our pet peeves, and we'll do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. Can you keep up
Yay!
With how fast I am talking?
Yes, very fast.
Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Take it easy.
And welcome back.
You welcome back.
Oh, you're nice. Back, Jeff. That's awesome. You know, Jason did a pretty good job of filling in for
that. That was good. I was surprised. Yeah. He said it, and I was like, yeah.
And it was immediate, too. He did a good job. Yeah. I was impressed.
Good stuff.
Yeah. All right, today we are talking about pet peeves.
Pet peeves!
I think we've talked about it before, but who gives a shit?
Whatever.
So I am going to pass the show to Mr. Travis Baum, and he's going to read a couple emails for us.
Here are some of my gaming pet peeves, says our buddy Sean Recupido. Number one, people who claim to know everything about a game without ever having played it.
Oh, God. Half the Halo haters out there.
God, I hate Halo. It
ridiculous.
Sucks so bad. Oh, my God.
Well, then they always say is, no, I played it at my friend's place a couple times. And yeah, whatever. Of course you did.
Word.
As you were.
Number two, when developers decide to change the control scheme to something weird in a pretty standard genre like first-person shooters.
Does he give an example?
No. Unfortunately, he does not. I was kind of curious to what he was thinking.
I was
going
to say, like, from Halo 3 to Reach.
Does Reach play differently?
Yeah, it totally changes up some of the button structure and everything like that. It takes a bit. Or even Halo 2 to Halo 3, and then they change it back to Reach. It's confusing, but yeah. They changed it
from 1 to 2, and then changed it from 2 to 3, then changed it back in ODST.
They didn't so much change it to 1 to 2, but they changed it definitely from 2 to 3, and then from 3 to Reach. So, yeah.
That's unusual.
Well, I think the original Killzone on PlayStation 2 was a pretty standard fare shooter in terms of how it controlled. And then I think
zooming in thing was anything, because you had to click in the right analog stick.
I think Killzone 2 is clunky.
Oh, okay.
Especially with the cover.
Oh, the cover for sure. The cover wasn't it like left trigger?
No,
right
I just
trigger?
Thought it was
left
weird.
What was
anyway,
it?
I don't remember. But yeah, the iron sights was weird too, yeah.
I didn't like the iron sights at all.
Number three, making me pay $60 just for updated rosters. I love sports games and get tons of enjoyment out of them, and they're worth every cent to me, but it's still kind of annoying how I can't just buy a roster update for about $20. Why don't you... You must not like sports games. I mean, if that's the issue.
Or even to that extent, even some first-person shooters. I mean, or sequels.
Yeah, that's true.
General.
I mean, there's
substitute roster.
A lot
could
be said
levels.
About that, like other genres like that too. I mean, you know, we talked about Crackdown being that way. So, I mean, that could have been a $20 download.
Yeah,
true that.
I think it was
true that.
Stuff.
Well, he finishes up. That's all I can think of. BTW. I would like to know why you have the porn groove designation as well. I listen to your show on a Sansafuse, and I don't label it. It doesn't label the genre podcast. Then sometimes it won't show up under the current folder. If you could fix this, it would be great.
There's nothing to fix. Working as designed, as we say in the software engineering world.
can't you just click artist or click like the name of the podcast? Well, that'd be artist. Or, you know, just click artist.
Yeah. iTunes just put us on Porn Groove because we talk about pussy so much, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Do we really?
No.
I think we talk about more dick than pussy.
Oddly, I think you're right. Not so much talking about penises, though. The next email starts off with,
penis.
Butt-turducken.
Butt-turducken.
Hey, Indus, my pet peeve in the gaming industry, the follow-the-leader mentality. I first started getting pissed off with this after every game and its brothers started adopting regenerating health after the runaway success of Halo. What they didn't... He probably never played Halo, too. What they didn't seem to realize was that Halo had a reason for it being there. It had an excuse backed up with context. A guy in the future fighting a space war, but when we get Modern Warfare, a game about a guy in the present fighting a war in Eastern Europe, and yet he still gets his health back by crouching down and sitting still. What is that game's excuse? Magic? Even worse, our game.
He's really good at first aid. He can remove bullets on himself. He's that
exactly.
Good.
Yeah. Even worse are gamers, like several of my friends who immediately dismiss genuinely good games like Bad Company 2, Mag, Killzone 2, because they dare try to do things differently. I keep hearing because Mag had a health bar. It was a step backwards. That made me sick. It's not backwards, it's just different. It made me realize that the developers are not in the wrong for saturating a market with these same feeling games, but that consumers are just at fault for being so dismissive of games that play in ways that they're not used to. I found Killzone's movement and control scheme disorienting after playing so much Call of Duty, but I stuck with it and wound up liking it more. I'm using first-person shooters as examples, but the industry is littered with them. QTEs, bullet time, open world. I could go on, but I won't. This has become quite a ramble. So, what do you guys think? This was the opinion of the jackal. Lee Hazel.
It's a jackal.
Jeff,
anyone gonna comment first? Yeah, I have some stuff to say on that. I agree with them. Different should not be looked upon as like being like, I guess, subpar or whatnot. But I think in the grand scheme of things, I agree. Like, when a Call of Duty game doesn't make sense to have like regenerating health, but in a video game situation and like terminology, it just makes sense. And I think it makes the game flow better. It's not like Rainbow Six, couple hits and you're dead. Restart. Couple hits and you're dead. Restart. Let's go find some health packs, which again isn't even that realistic either way. I just think, what Halo started and Call of Duty took up, I think it's just like, it makes a game more, I want to say accessible, because it's not really the right term, but I think it helps the flow of the gameplay better. So yes. If you're getting shot at and you're like, shit, I'm gonna get you hiding, like, boom, we get full health, cool, I can take this situation that I'm also going to ask it again, try it again without a reload screen. And without loading a checkpoint.
Right.
And I think that's the main reason they do it. And Killzone 2, again, like same with Jack, how he said he found it disorienting. I did too. And this is the one thing, Bugsy, everyone's like, well, it seems like it has weight. It's more realistic. Guns don't weigh a lot. Like, I don't know how many like people watch, like...
I don't think that's what they mean by weight.
Well, have you played Killzone 2?
Yeah.
You sit there and you sway, like the thing weighs like 100 pounds.
Well, when I think of the weight of a gun, I think more of how much kickback it has.
Yeah, no, that's not what Killzone is. The big thing with Killzone was a delay or like a swaying thing when you're aiming, whatever. And unless the gun weighs like way more than it should not aim like that. Like, yes, Call of Duty takes it to the other end of the spectrum where it's crazy precise and the thing weighs like nothing. But Killzone 2 is the opposite end. Like, here's me waving a gun around on, like, I don't know, Mars. Which doesn't really make sense. Well, I guess it could if they want to say, like, whatever, Helgen, that's what the gravity's like. But that's too total. Like, I think with Killzone 2, as much as I love that game, can't wait for the third one, I think a lot of people made excuses for, and this is just me just speaking, not necessarily it's an excuse, just what I thought of them not having really tight controls to people juxtaposing that with realism.
Right.
And well, I don't think that's a good comparison.
Yeah, see, I was going to even bring it up, and now that you said it, now I might as well say it, but like, and this is part of me being a member of the CODDF, but you know, you're going to sit here and say, you know, and I'm speaking to Lee, of course, sitting in a corner and waiting for your health to regenerate. It's, you know, this is supposed to be a present day shooter, you know, kind of fixated toward realism, but you know, you still take about, you know, in the normal difficulty, you still take a good 7 or 8 bullets before you even get to the point where you're about to die.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
true. If you want realism, then play on the hardest difficulty where a couple of bullets will take you down like it realistically should. You don't even have to worry about regenerating your health because it's going
to
be too late anyway.
So
when you play Halo, play SWAT. It's like, all right, there you go.
Well, no, he understood that Halo, there was context. Like, there were shields and everything.
No, I'm saying for people who didn't like that stuff. Like, I mean, SWAT, and if you play Call of Duty on whatever, it's like basically one hit, one headshot.
Veteran? Yeah, it's like veteran, you get hit like twice and you're dead.
Yeah. I love Halo on SWAT. I think it's one of my favorite games.
I think it's one of my
favorites
too, especially in
Reach. Really, really good because, yeah. But that's what we think. Another person thinks something maybe a little differently. It's just Sup Indus, just dropping my two cents on your question of the week. While things like Activision's antics and DLC prices are peeves from the industry as a whole, my personal industry peeve has got to be this piss-poor level of customer service that seems to run rampant in retail stores where I live. First, there is the GameStop...
It's not just where you live, Brad.
First, there is the GameStop resident know-it-all fanboy clerk who feels it is his crusade to let you know you're an idiot for buying a game for a system that he thinks sucks. If you dare to engage his half-truths and write lies with silly things like facts or logic, he will hesitate to let you know that because he's been gaming since the Genesis and works at GameStop, he is by default a gaming industry expert. Yeah. And anything you say...
God.
On the subject is null and void. I actually had a GameStop employee tell me that, in so many words, when I dared to disagree with a line of bullshit he was spewing about the PS3 version of the original Assassin's Creed, needless to say, I made that purchase elsewhere. Then there is the Target, Walmart, Super K, Best Buy attitude troll. They see their job as just a lousy means to an end or a term of probation requirement, nothing more. They have little to no interest in video games in general and even less of an interest in answering any questions you might have.
Yeah, they just unlock the door and get you the game. That's it. That's their job.
Yeah. I've never met a person at one of those stores that claims.
I guess, sorry, what do you say about the Assassin's Creed thing?
He was having an argument with a GameStop employee, and the employee was kind of, I guess, being rude to him in terms of opinion, and maybe trying to make the.
But he mentioned the version specifically. He said something about the PS3 version of Assassin's Creed.
Is that? I mean, I guess it wasn't as good as the 360 version. I mean, that's semantics, right?
Well, it's not. No, it's not really semantics. You see what I'm saying? Because in that situation. That could have been somebody who was... Because, I mean, the PS3 version of Assassin's Creed, the first one, was ass. Like really ass compared to...
Well, I don't think we have enough information about what
that's what I'm saying. I wish you went into more detail, like what the actual clerk said, but...
Yeah.
Anywho.
But anyway, back on to the Target Walmart kick. Don't even think of asking if a new release is out or if it is still unpacked in the loading docks. If it's not in their immediate field of view... It ain't out yet, or they never heard of it.
They don't know what exactly.
They won't even lift the two-way to use their mouths and call anyone. If you point out a game you're looking for in the security case, 9 times out of 10, the individual you're dealing with won't have the key to the cases anyways. Be prepared for an assault of eye rolls, loud sighs, and under-the-breath comments as they leave the area supposedly to find the person with the key. More than once, I've seen them doing something in another department. When they were supposed to get the key so I could make my purchase. The response is Person X would be there to help me in a little while. Person X only shows up if there is a crowd in the electronics area gathers. My remedy to this has been Amazon. I've been a Prime member for a while, and in just a few clicks, whatever game I order is at my doorstep in a day or two, or on launch day. If I'm not, I'm not saying all employees at GameStop and other stores are like this. I've come across some great people who should have their pay doubled for the level of helpfulness they provided. It's just that the frequency of my bad experiences are just enough to get me to go to Amazon first and brick and mortar, and to the brick and mortar very last, unless there is some sort of deal going on at a major retailer. Keep up the great work. Show enough.
I completely agree.
I am all about checking Amazon first. I think no offense showing up. I think the theatrics were a little high.
I'm sorry. Did he mention Best Buy as one of the ones that he didn't like?
Yeah, he did.
Okay. And I have had good experiences with actually asking people about stuff at Best Buy. And, you know, it doesn't happen every time, but, you know, they actually do staff the video game area with people who are somewhat knowledgeable. I mean, they may not be as knowledgeable as, like, one of us or something like that. But, I mean, if you're talking about a game or if you're asking them a question, you know, a lot of times they'll be able to answer it. And if you ask them if there's a game that should have been in today, if you ask them if it's in the back, they will check for you. And I've actually had several situations where I went in on a release day of a game and they went to the back to their little warehouse area and brought the game back to me and I went and bought it.
Right.
So
mm-hmm. I love Best Buy. I like the place.
Yeah, and the reward zone points help. You know, I mean that's a big thing for me. I mean my first choice is like going to Best Buy and using my reward zone points. And if I don't have that available to me, then I go to Amazon. That's kind of the way I do it.
I kind of like going to a store and picking up my game, man. I don't know. Amazon takes away kind of the hey, it's here. It's a day later, but it's here.
I will hit up Amazon for like when they start doing free release date shipping on some of the games. I will hit up Amazon like almost immediately. If I don't have any reward zone points to spend, I will hit up.
I like commerce.
Yeah, as much as I don't even like I'm not a big GameStop fan.
Give me my game whatsoever.
But I'd rather pick up the actual copy in my hand. And that being said about GameStop, I've gotten to know the people by my work quite well, actually, like really well. And actually sold a PS3 yesterday at their store because they left me in charge of their store for 15 minutes. Because two of the girls that worked there, one of them was like closing and they were like starving and it was like totally dead. So I just walked over there and I'm like, hey, every once in a while I'll check out stuff. And they're like, hey, Jeff, is it cool if you just like watch over the place? We're just going to go like around the corner because the buffet is closing soon. They want to get some like Indian food or something like that. And I'm like, sure, but I don't know how to use a till or nothing. It's been like 10 years since I worked at an EB Games. Like, yeah, don't worry about it. It'll be fine. So they leave, and I'm sitting there like, okay. And then a dude came in asking about new console, and then I was like telling him there's blah, blah, and whatever. And then I was just trying to delay the shit out of it. I'm like, do you like, do you want to watch Blu-ray movies, or do you not care about that? Do you want like more robust online, all this like garbage? And then finally they got back and he ended up buying a PS3. So I was like, yeah, give me some commission, bitches. But yeah, that was kind of awkward. But like, yeah, I still don't like the company as a whole, though. Fuck them. But with Travis, though, I'd like to support Amazon, but I like going to the stores. Whatever.
Cool. Hey, I mean, that's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
so, and I do agree with them on like Walmart and Target, though. I mean, it's like they don't staff with anybody.
Oh, they don't care. That's like department stores.
It's not even a department store. It's literally a warehouse store.
Yeah, pretty much.
And they're not known to. I mean, it's not their job to staff anyone knowledgeable. That's never been a case for them. They've never even tried to do it. But I just don't. You know, I have not had a bad, it just seems like it's kind of like a meme of GameStop, like something that like grew on the internet. I've never met a just douche, douche McDouche, GameStop guy. I haven't seen it yet. Like
I've seen a couple.
I mean,
I'd say, you know, it's
I don't know.
The
I've
truth.
Never seen that. And
I'd say the good
and on
the
Walmart
the
tip,
bad,
and on the Walmart tip, or even Target. I've had people go in the back and get games for me too. So like I don't know. I just have one of those faces. Where people are just like, hey man, you know what? I'm gonna get you that thing.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I don't know. Like I don't know. The issues that you guys are having, I've not had.
I haven't really had too many issues, to be honest. Like I really haven't. Just like there's been a couple dickheads at different stores, but it's you just gotta look where you're shopping. Like if you're going to a Target or like even somewhat like a Best Buy or a Walmart or something, they're not going to be, they're there just to be in that department.
Yeah, they're just there to get the game for you.
You got to tell them what to look for and like, oh, do you have the pre-order for this? What are you talking about? Okay, you have to explain it to them, then they'll go look it up and say, oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, we got that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just sad because the only really specialty stores are GameStop and
That's actually one of my pet peeves a little bit is like the way if you pre-order something at Best Buy, the way they do it. Have you guys ever pre-ordered
I've never pre-ordered at Best Buy ever.
No,
you pre-order for Best Buy, you walk up, you grab a box off the shelf, you bring it to the counter and you pay $5, right? And the way that you get your pre-order is you bring that back with your receipt and you return it and put that credit towards the purchase of the regular game.
What?
It's really fucked up. I don't understand the. I mean, it's like, do you even have one set aside for me? I mean, what if you guys were out of stock? I mean, that would be kind of shitty.
Yeah.
So
that's really odd.
Yeah. That's kind of one of my pieces. It's like I go to Best Buy to buy a lot of my games, but I just don't like the way they handle pre-orders. put that to
you. Yeah.
Travis, what else you got, man? Or you want me to do a voicemail?
I got you doing a voicemail.
Oh, okay. That'll work. Here we go.
Hey, Interactive Distractions.
Hey.
This is Zavari, otherwise known as Steven G. That's Gallant for Travis, who is a little impaired saying my name. But hey, everyone makes that mistake. So it's cool. Hugs, bro. Anyways, calling to try to make on the question of the week. What is your gaming industry pet peeve? I really only have one. I mean, I put up with a lot from publishers, developers, and whatnot. They still get my money in the end. But when I was in games retail, one pet peeve I always had is that Nintendo always releases their shit on a Sunday.
Yeah, that's true.
The rest of the world, like Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe even a Friday release, whatever. But a fucking Sunday? I mean, come on. Most game stores are only open like 5-6 hours anyways. You know, it used to be they weren't open that day at all. We don't usually have people there for a major launch. When the DSi launched, I was working retail. It was fucking crazy. It was ridiculous. A Sunday. And they even promised us that it would change. And did it? No. Never did. They still release all their shit on a Sunday. Mario Galaxy 2 came out on a Sunday. DSi XL came out on a Sunday. If it's a major Nintendo first-party release, it comes out on a Sunday. In fact, I bet you, if you check the calendar, which I will attempt to do right now because everyone knows that I am prepared, but I will hazard a guess that Metroid Other M is
27th
on... No.
28?
Okay, never mind. So, yeah, that was my gaming pet peeve. But I guess Metroid Other M isn't exactly a Nintendo. Ha! Still on. So, Nintendo, smarten the fuck up. Stop releasing on Sunday. Thank you.
That is kind of odd. They're the only ones that do that. It's like the only time you ever see a game come out on Sunday is if it's a Nintendo first-party release. That's really fucked up.
Yeah, pretty much. But I guess it's published first party, but when did he say it was coming out? Is it the 30th?
Which one? Other M?
Or 20, yeah.
Oh, I'm not. He didn't say a date. He just said it was on a Tuesday.
It is a Tuesday. Okay, that's crazy. I'll tell you though, I would rather on a Sunday than a Tuesday, to be honest.
So, yeah, what games release on, what arcade games like release on, like on Thursday? Is that Xbox or PlayStation?
Oh, PlayStation used to. Now it's Tuesday.
Now it's Tuesday.
Are they
Tuesday
jumped over
is,
Tuesday?
Yeah, Monday is Nintendo. Tuesday is PlayStation, and Wednesday is live.
So what's the big deal? Like, it's another day.
Oh, well, I was gonna just because it's weird, I guess. I don't know because it's
no. I mean, think about it this way. I mean,
but that's not retail though. That's arcade games.
Right, retail. Like, as Vari said, I mean, a lot of retail stores, you know, like game stores, they're not open as long on a Sunday. So it's like GameStop I don't know what their hours are on Sunday, but it might be like 12 to 6 compared to 10 to 8 or whatever it is on any other day.
Well, to be honest, I'd rather it normally be on a Sunday than a Tuesday because if there's a midnight launch, you're going to midnight on Saturday.
Yeah,
as
that's
opposed
cool.
to Tuesday or Monday.
Yeah.
So... You go out, you do your bar thing, you're like, you check out, you're like, oh shit, it's almost 12 guys, I gotta go. Where you gotta go?
I gotta go stand in line and get a video game.
I'll be right back.
I don't see this much of a problem, you know, games releasing, and even, you know, whether it's a midnight release or it's a Sunday, you know, during the day release, like, that's more of a problem for the postal service and like UPS and stuff like that than it is retail. Fuck, yeah.
Well, that's
retail.
The thing. First party games
have to work
though.
Extra
hours.
They probably get it like a few days before.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that that's what I was going to say. First party games, I'm sure they get it in like 2-3 days before.
Yeah, right.
So, but I don't know. It's still weird. They're the only ones that release games on Sundays.
It is definitely weird, for sure.
Yeah. Cool.
I think they just want to own something themselves. Be like, we have no competition. It's Sunday.
There you go.
Except for Jesus and church and that whole thing. Besides that, we got nothing to compete
You have a choice.
With.
Nintendo or Jesus. Choose wisely.
that's tough. Anyway, Chris, why don't you polish off the feature with the last voicemail, please?
Ooh, I will do that.
Hello, Interactive Distractions. I guess you guys are talking about pet peeves this week, so I'm calling in for the question of the week. You know, asking me about pet peeves, I mean, I'm kind of OCD about a lot of stuff, so That's kind of like asking Lindsay Lohan how many times she snorted crack off of a urinal in the bathroom.
Ooh.
But I'll try to hit a few here.
Not my woman alone.
First off, manuals, like in games. Like, you know, like a lot of, like, I know a lot of people don't never use manuals anymore. And so I see from the business end why they do this, but still, it's like a lot of them just like print out a two page manual, black and white. Like at that point, why even bother at all? You know, it's just ridiculous. I like me a nice colored thick manual, just because it looks better. It looks better. I like a good looking package. Number two.
God.
You know, another thing that kind of bugs
me. We're so
is
mature.
Not so much with the industry, but with the community, the gamer community, is everybody screaming about DLC, about how,
good looking the packages.
This should have been on the disc and blah, blah, blah. I mean, you know, there are some circumstances, like, you know, there are some circumstances where stuff could have honestly been put on the disc. But, you know, a lot of times people don't realize, you know, that when the game is done, there's like something like 6 to 12 weeks of like just certification time. And at that point, you can't do nothing else. And, you know, I just think gamers need to shut up a lot of the time, because they make presumptions, like you know, with Resident Evil 5 DLC. Yeah, the download was only like maybe 2 megabytes, and everybody's like, "Oh, everything's on the disc. It's already on the disc." And I mean, Capcom came straight out and said, "Yeah, it's using assets for the disc, but the actual infrastructure for the multiplayer stuff was not there before the download." You know, so it's. I just hate people assuming things, like they know what's going on, you know?
That is true.
Going back to the DLC thing, pre-order bonus DLC. Not so bad on its own, but when you do this whole retailer-specific shit, it absolutely bugs me to death.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, that is aggravating.
Seriously. Like, I pre-ordered Fallout, you know, New Vegas, and apparently, you know, there is, like, 5 different, like, packs, pre-order packs.
But if you go to actually Vegas and pre-order it, you get all of them.
Under the sun. You know, it's ridiculous, and that really needs to stop. It's just stupid. Pre-order bonuses in themselves, okay, whatever, that's fine. Most of it ends up as DLC, like, you know, 3 months down the road. Anyways, but, you know, it's this retailer specific shit is just really, really annoying. Anyways, guys, you know, keep up the good show, you know, and Jeff is a douchebag.
So. Yeah.
Nice. All right. Let's start off with the one that we all agree with, I think, and that's the retailer specific.
I was going to say the attractive package.
The attractive package. That's right. We all want it. We want all want good looking packages. No, we are really immature today.
Yeah. Whatever.
No, I was going to say the retailer specific DLC.
Oh, it's
bullshit. We did a feature that basically covered a lot of this shit, and I think we're all in agreement with Necro that it's. By the way, that was Necro. He didn't actually mention his name on there.
Oh, that was Necro?
Yeah, it was Necro.
Didn't say name for some reason, but I should have caught on with the Jeff is a douche thing.
Jeff is a douche.
Thought it was BB Media.
But yeah, I mean, it's really ridiculous that they do that, and you know, it's a lot of that DLC should be available, you know, all as one pack via download somehow, and you know, I think it's retarded that they do it retailer specific. But if you like good instruction manuals, good looking instruction manuals, then do you like working designs games? Because you should go back and check some of those out.
Oh,
just saying.
Yeah.
He's right, you know.
I am right. What about the DLC comments he was making, guys?
And the Resident Evil, okay, yeah, the whole co-op thing and new levels using the same assets, but 2 megs is nothing. Yeah. Like, literally.
Yeah, there's not enough in a 2 meg pack to do anything.
Yeah. Sounds like a key to me.
Yeah, pretty much. And there's a, if you listen to last or this week's Giant Bomb, what game that's not even out yet? And one of the guys was talking about how they came to show them the DLC. And they were like, the game's not even out yet. Like, I mean, as much as I agree with Necro saying, like, people, I agree 100%. Everyone thinks they're, like, experts on everything, and they just assume everything is just in it for, like, the bad, for the evil. Like, it's already on the disc, they're trying to make money. All this kind of crap. Because I think a lot of the times, yeah, people do that. But I think another 50% of the time is developers actually throw shit on there and hold stuff back because DLC is the new hotness. And they know
they're
going to make $60 off the game plus at least another $10 to $15 2 months after that game releases on about 30-35% of the people who bought the game at retail. That is just free money. And that's just going to kick up their margin that much more just from that. And that's like on a game that doesn't really do too well on DLC. And it's just, I don't know.
No, I'm with you.
I don't know.
That's the thing. I mean, DLC is, it's easy money for them. I mean, distribution is easy. It's cheap. And, you know, they can charge whatever they feel like charging. And most of the time they'll get away with it.
Yeah, and if it's on the disc, that saves them that much more money.
That's right.
And that's it's ridiculous. Like, I'm sorry, Necro, but 2 megabytes is not what that Resident Evil 5 shit actually was. That shit was on the disc. That was just like an unlock code to unlock it. Whether or not it's assets or not, you still got to program in a bunch of other stuff that would be more than 2 megs these days.
Yeah, I think my Twitter app on my Droid is like 4 megabytes.
Yeah, no doubt.
Exactly. I'm serious. I'm no lie.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's a tough subject because, I mean, people are buying it, so they're going to keep going with it. And as much as we hate it, we're not doing anything about it. And until
you vote with your dollars.
Changes. You know, exactly. If you don't like it, don't buy shit, but you're still going to buy shit because you like shit. And if you do like it, you're going to buy it either way. So, whatever. You're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. Like Bart Simpson. Cool. Like, he said that. That's why I said that. Come on, man. But, I don't know.
Who's Bart Simpson?
I don't know. He's some dude. I think he's on Family Guy.
Oh, I love that show.
It's a good show.
Cool. Anyway. That's all I've got.
But for the most part, I agree. Yeah.
Cool. So, is it our turn?
I think so.
I think so, yeah.
You guys go first.
I'll go first.
Okay, go.
There's really not much else for me to cover. A lot of the stuff that I have issues with was actually covered already. One of the things that I will... And I've talked about this before. One of the pet peeves that I have with the industry in general is the inconsistency with professional reviewers and how there's a lot of times that they'll say, you know, this is just more of the same. But when it's like a big name title and they say more of the same, I'm sorry. When it's a big name title and it is more of the same, they don't give a shit and they let it slide.
Yeah, that's good. I like that one.
Granted, there are times when it's very much appropriate to say more of the same, and Crackdown is one of those. And because that one, it uses the same city and the same assets and everything, you know. In a previous show, I had made a comparison of Crackdown 2 to Galaxy 2, and that was a very bad comparison. Galaxy 2 is definitely more of the same, but Crackdown 2 is more of the same in the same city and everything. So it's a little different there, but, regardless, Mario Galaxy 2 got a pass because it's a big name and, you know, and yes, it is a great game, but it is still more of the same. And the point that I'm trying to make is you can still have a great game and have more of the same. It doesn't have to be different just to be different. And it annoys me when reviewers like make that a con, that it's in the pros and cons section, that it's just more of the same. But, you know, who cares? You know, as long as the game's good, that's all I care about.
Word.
I hear you.
That's all I got. Everything else was kind of mentioned.
Cool.
Travis, you have anything?
I do, but I want you to go to ours.
Okay, I was going to say, like, besides repeating stuff that we've talked about before, like little things in actual games that really drive me insane. Random, Justin from 360 Nation. Game trailers, especially teasers that show no gameplay.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, he mentioned that in the thread, I think, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yes.
I hate it.
There's another one that's in the thread that I want to mention, too, but I'll wait until after traffic goes.
Okay. I can't stand it. Especially when it's like a countdown to a trailer or something like that, and then you see it, it's like, okay, in-engine, but cinematics I can kind of handle, but it's pure CG. Like, okay, the Bioshock one is CG. No doubt about it. But it looks awesome.
You know what game's cool? Really, that's been doing that. It's really been bugging the shit out of me. Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah.
Oh,
the MMO.
Yeah.
It's like all we see, which is the best fucking CG
fucking
and it's
shit
like,
ever.
I know, and it's awesome to see it. I think it looks great, but it's like just show me some freaking gameplay, man. I mean, that's what I'm interested in. It's like this is that okay? This CG trailer looks fantastic, but you know, it doesn't tell me anything about how the game works. So, yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Travis?
Oh, that's it? I've got quite a few, so...
here we go.
I don't like video games that grade you after levels or after you beat the game. I don't like that.
Congratulations, you won level, but you suck.
You beat the game, but you got an F.
How many times?
Exactly.
How many times?
You win,
you
but
beaten,
you fail.
Beaten in like a Resident Evil, and they give you like a C-.
Yeah, if you play any Bayonetta or Death May Cry series.
I think I just survived an alien outbreak. I survived. I mean, not alien, a zombie outbreak. A+. Good job. Pat on the back. No, C-. Blow me. Multiplayer achievements, gotta go.
Yeah, I hate that shit. I
gotta
really
go.
Do.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there.
No, but Halo 3 says hi.
Gears of War, bunch of shit.
Oh my god,
dude!
Yeah.
Didn't Gears of War have one like kill 100,000 people online? Mm-hmm. For, like a 20-point achievement.
Well, no. It added your kills in single player and online.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
still dumb.
It's still dumb, yeah. Unskippable cutscenes before boss battles.
Unpausable cutscenes.
Unskippable.
Too.
Oh,
no,
unpausable,
I'm just saying
yeah.
as well. Unpausable cutscenes. For me, anyway.
Yeah. Final Fantasy X says hi there. let's see. We kind of touched on this, just like the online sarcasm. In terms of like. People who only have one console, but they will just forcibly say the other console sucks and they've never really touched it just because it's not the console they own. You know, like it's like a Sony guy who only has like a Sony, you know, Sony products, period. And they're going to say Halo is too gay. Lol. You know, I just don't like, I don't know, that bothers me.
Fanboys suck.
Grow the fuck up. and then, oh my god, this is like the mother load for me. And I know a lot
Here
of people
comes.
Do it. I know a lot of people do it. Guys, don't hate me, but you have to fucking stop this. Using Facebook and Twitter to fucking let us know what achievements you've gotten and what games you're playing.
Oh, I hate that.
God.
Gamer
Is that
DNA
actually
there?
I unlocked like four trophies in this game. It's like, I don't care what you did.
Oh, guys, please. Like, I'm serious. If I want to know what games you're playing, I'll compare achievement list or something like that.
I don't think it's a lot of people's fault, really. I think. Well, then again,
no, because they have to set that shit up.
It's
an automatic thing. Yeah. It's an automatic thing, but they have to set that shit up.
Yeah,
you know, they have to actually go in and say, "I want to do this right now."
Yeah, and there are people that we're actually close to, like really, really close to, and I'm like, guys, like. Please stop. I don't want this on my thing. I know I can block
These are the
it.
Games I played last night.
I know I can block that stuff, but
Yay.
It's like, I don't want to block. I don't want to. Why should I go through the trouble? Like, I shouldn't. So,
yeah.
Just like, yeah, guys, just think about that. That sucks.
Yeah, I agree. So. I have one more I'm going to mention from the thread.
Slap it on us.
Animated fan. And his is, an announcement date where you will be told the release date of a game.
Oh my god, that
that
shit!
I hate that.
I hate
like
that
it did
shit.
With was it Gears 1 or Gears 2?
I don't remember, but I know Final Fantasy 13 did that shit.
Yeah.
They had that big, like, terrible video bullshit. Hey,
you're like, yeah. Video.
And one more thing.
Yeah, I fucking hated that thing so much.
It was horrible. It was horrible. Just tell me what the date is. I don't give a shit about your, you know, marketing.
Stop
promotional
building up
bullshit.
Shit. Well, it's all part of, like, video game culture now. It's like, okay, you got to have a teaser, like, screenshot. Then you got to have a teaser trailer. And then you have to have an announcement trailer. Then you have to have a gameplay trailer. Like, fuck off. This is dumb.
And then you have to have a gameplay trailer that has the release date at the end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then you have to have a gameplay trailer that has the release date at the end. And then, you know, it tells you that it's going to be
multi-platform.
And then
a developer diary.
And then, you know, it's, yeah. Yeah, I think they just go too far with, like, the marketing bullshit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree with that.
And faraway checkpoints. Fucking hate them. So.
You know, I had that on my list and I scratched it out.
Did you? No, that's great. No, yeah. I might have mentioned that last time we talked about this, but I still fucking hate them. Still hate them. Sorry.
Well, they
Battlefield
don't get
Bad Company 2? Fuck you. It's the only reason I haven't beat your shit yet, because your checkpoints suck.
Which game?
Battlefield Bad Company 2.
Oh,
single
okay,
player.
Okay.
Oh, it's god-awful where they put their checkpoints. You play for like 20 minutes and you're like, oh, I died. Oh, it's too bad. Oh, what? Are you fucking kidding me? I'm two levels before when I died. This is dumb.
Back
to Modern Warfare.
All right. You guys have anything else to add before we move on?
Oh, and Chris's face drives me nuts.
Oh, me too, man. I hate that guy. He's a fucking asshole. Sorry.
Jerk.
I know.
No, I'm good.
He's almost as bad as that Jeff guy.
I know. It's terribly, hideously Canadian. Travis,
right.
Wake up.
Let's do some new releases then. Hey, you know, I got a voicemail from Pete.
Big Pete. Pistol Pete.
Okay, so there's a couple of interesting games next week. First up, we have East 7 for the PSP.
PSP?
That's actually got brought forward from its original release date, which was a bit later in the month.
Pete
so
Dragon?
That also comes in a collector's edition, which comes with the usual soundtrack and art book. And it also includes the item that every collector's edition should include, regardless of what sort of genre or setting it's in, and that's a cloth map. And also, it's
nice.
A pretty decently sized cloth map as well this time. So, yeah. Although, we'll see back about $20 more than the standard. But, you know,
yeah,
I'm a sucker, and I went for that one. Also, the Summer of Arcade is ending with Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light. Now, this is a very co-op-focused title, ditching the usual sort of third-person adventure games of the old Tomb Raider for this weird isometric thing. And for some reason, it's also launching slightly incomplete, because it will not have online co-op.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Until
that's
4 weeks
up.
Later, which coincidentally is also the date that it launches on PS3.
Hey, go for you.
So, yeah. And that's pretty much it. I guess there's Kane and Lynch 2, if you're into that sort of thing, but eh, whatever.
Yeah, I heard about the thing where the multiplayer wasn't going to be included. What's that about?
I don't know. Apparently, well, it's coming out on Xbox Live Arcade next week, and I think it's not hitting PSN until the week later.
Well,
I think that's
if what Pete said is accurate, he said 2 weeks. So if that's the case.
So 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, he said that.
I really don't listen to Repeat's voicemails.
Hey, Castlevania's coming out next week, Jeff.
I'm still waiting for him to say Madden's coming out. Oh, I've been waiting for it to come out.
I'm pretty sure it's coming out at the same time as the PS3 one, the co-op stuff. So
yeah.
I don't know.
I'm sorry,
Pete. I was really trying, but I was trying. Nah, I'm not going to explain. It's embarrassing, but yes. What you said. Right on, brother man.
Yeah,
respect.
I just think
shrimp on the Barbie.
All right, let me do some filling in of the gaps. There's really not much to fill in. He mentioned Kane and Lynch, so I won't go into that. He mentioned E7, and he's pretty much mentioned everything. Unless you count Gold's Gym Dance Workout for the Wii, because, you know, that's pick of the week for us. But yeah, so what's your pick of the week next week? Welcome back from the mute button, Jeff.
The
what
ultimate Madden jerseys that they're charging $4 for.
The what now?
I'm just making a joke about the old Madden stuff.
Oh,
they used
okay.
to charge like $4 for ultimate jerseys. That were free on the Xbox and PS2.
Horse armor!
Yeah.
All right, well, mine's E7. That's what I'm going with.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm going to get my second copy of Madden. I'm going to.
And you are too, aren't you? You're going to go get a 360.
Yeah, I'm going to give her a 360.
Fuck, man. Well, you know what? The Lara Croft game is getting good reviews, like really good reviews. Well, at least the Game Informer review is really good. But that's print, and it's Game Informer, and they tend to be generous. But
yeah, yeah. I'll tell you what, man. When I played it at E3, I wasn't very impressed.
Really?
You know, but that's just me.
That is just you. And you like Monster Hunter, so...
Yeah, because that makes a difference.
No, it doesn't.
Snippity snip. Jeff, pound it.
You know what? Just give me a game, and I'll pick that as my pick of the week. Just throw it out there on the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
Gold's Gym Dancing.
Yes.
Pick of the week.
Awesome. That's what I'm going with.
All right, cool. Well, let's give it back to Travis. Travis, do we have any emails?
And I'm passing it back to you. We're done.
No shit. No emails?
No emails.
Dude. What's up with that? Oh, well. All right, so I guess we should do question of the week.
May as well.
What kind of gaming swag do you go for? Maybe you have toys, music CDs, figurines, you know, comics, manga. What do you go for? Tell us about it. You can answer the question of the week by sending us an email. That address is email at interactivedistractions.com. You can also send us a voicemail to our correct number, not the bullshit number I gave you guys last week.
Yeah, that was bullshit. What you gave me. I'm like, this isn't the fucking right number. What the hell is this? I got some, like girl can barely speak English. I'm like, interactive distractions? Like, no interactive distractions. Like, you know, I just want to leave a voicemail. She's like, no.
I'm going now.
The real number is 706-760-4337.
And if you spell leet, you're going to get a wrong number.
And if you dial what Chris said last week, you're going to get a wrong number as well. You can get us on Google Talk, and that is interactivedistractions@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast. You can follow us individually as well. That is Indus Chris, Indus Jason, Indus Travis, and Indus Geoff.
G-E-O-F-F.
Spell it with a J. I'm kicking your ass.
Word. That's right. He's got my back, bitches.
That's right.
100%. Word. Pound it.
It's like a Tasmanian devil.
And then let's see. Facebook group, Interactive Distractions Podcast. And we're
what
on.
What is that?
We're also on Cast Medium, Interactive Distractions Podcast. So jump on there and check us out.
Yo,
and,
spam that. No, bullshit. Spam that site, guys. Okay, I'm charging you, listeners. I'm charging you. Spam the shit out of that site. Just be like, go into the user area. We're going to end this. The look for Indus, and just like review it like 5 stars or 6 stars if it's available.
If it's available,
and just be like, this is the best podcast ever,
ever,
ever. Ever.
Even if
it doesn't have to, even if you don't agree or believe it, which I don't know why you would, just say it's the best ever. Just spam that site, castmedium.com. Yeah, do it right now.
They will send a very attractive young woman to your place and fillet the hell out of you.
Yeah, you'll get filleted by a fallacious woman. Who, ironically, her name? Filletta.
Oh, weird. Crazy.
All right, what else?
In Thailand, awkwardly enough.
Check us out on VG Evo. Come visit our forums and check out what we've got going on in there. And the contest.
Hey, dude, when's Extra Life? Sorry, go ahead.
Extra Life is the 18th of October, I believe.
Cool.
I think so. Yeah, we're gonna start. We're ramping things up for that too. We've got Battle and Brew is actually doing basically a like
lock-in.
they're actually it's a lock in. They're staying open all night. So it's
That's
gonna be pretty,
pretty
cool.
Badass.
Yeah, Battle and Brew is just something else, man. They have been great to us, and you know, I can't tell you guys how much I appreciate, you know, what they do for us and our podcast. So. Also, our contest this month, if you haven't heard about it yet, we are doing send in your job applications for the Indus corporate office. You can apply for whatever the hell you want. We're not, you know, just make up a job and apply for it. That's what we're looking for. Check out the topic on VGEvo.com for more information on that.
And real quick, I know I'm interrupting you a lot, but a disclaimer on the contest, guys, we are 3 for 3 so far with
these
entries.
Yes, we are 3 for 3.
On Canada jokes.
Right. Hey,
I'm about to disqualify Canada jokes from here on out. Okay, let's mix it up. Let's mix it.
Yeah, Jeff, we seriously got three entries so far, and all three of them
are all candidate judges.
Yes! You guys rock.
You're the most popular.
Y'all, you
of this
closet
podcast,
Canadians out there.
All right, well, that's all I've got. So, you guys have anything else before we get the hell out of here?
Seriously, no more Canada entries. Come on.
No, really. No more. Seriously.
No, I'm good.
All right, let's get the fuck out of here. So thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please leave. Please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or what's that other thing that Microsoft? Zune Microplays.
Zune. So Captain Harlock, if you're listening.
That one guy that has a Zune.
But he can't find it on Zune because it's in the porn group
That's
category.
That's right, it's the porn group category. Please leave us a review. We would appreciate it. So until next time, I am Chris.
I'm Travis.
I am Jeff.
Play your games, and we will talk to you next week.
Toodles.
Toodles.
Yeah, edit that out. That
No. Actually, that's going to be right after the last cymbal crash. It's going to go,
oh, God.
Toodles.
Sunshine. 'Cut out there for a second and hear his last thing he said.
Oh.
He said, you suck.
No. I fucking hate that, too.
You know, I'll mark this and I'll start it over.
By cutting out, I mean I got a drink. Sorry.
Fucker.
Anyway, Chris, why don't you polish off the feature with the last voicemail, please?
Ooh, I will do that. Right after this.
Dun, all right, dun,
2510. Dun, dun.